Okay, let's get started. It's Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 12. It's the last one in the sequence. And then next week we're going to start a listing series. There will be 12 different conference calls on how to improve your listing business, so working with sellers. A lot of people have been asking for these types of conference calls, and I'm just about ready to launch the new set. So get excited about that. We'll start that next Monday. But tonight we're going to wrap up the session with Unit 12, which is ratings, reviews, and referrals. And this is a great call, even if you're looking at improving your listing business, because most brokers need to do a better job of enhancing their online image. What a better way to do that than right now before we enter the spring and summer selling season. And having a general understanding of how ratings and reviews can impact your business. And then the referral strategy we're going to talk about at the end of the call, the last 15 minutes, will work for either a buyer or a seller to enhance your business plan. So we'll give you a simple marketing plan that will help you attract more referrals and hopefully give you some more direction for your business. So that's the way we're going to handle it. We're going to talk about ratings and reviews for the first half, and then we'll go over the referrals, how to create a simple marketing plan to attract more. So the reason why we do these calls, and specifically this conference call, was because I had a lot of questions early on when I opened Best Choice Realty about, you know, there's Zillow, there's Redfin, there's all these different online providers, and all of these places require clients to create a login, create a password, create an account, and then provide a review for their agent. And so how valuable were these reviews? How valuable were the ratings that consumers saw on these websites? And so I took it upon myself to do a little more research and to also provide some sort of surveying that helped me come up with why it was important, and overall determined that having a good online image when you're working with clients that are in the, I would say, 50 and below category is extremely important. In fact, as you start working with some of the Generation Y and into, you know, the millennial generation, it's almost imperative that you go ahead and update your online image. Make it easy for them to find you online. So if they may not, you know, they may have been you may have been referred to them by their grandparents or their parents. But what they'll typically do if you're in that millennial category and you're a consumer, you'll go online and you would Google or Bing Rochelle Wilhite and see how I show up on the rankings. And before I opened Best Choice Realty, when I left my last firm, there was all kinds, my ranking was not as good. In fact, the company that I worked for prior to Best Choice, before I opened my own firm, they made it, you know, they said that they did a good job at making me appear professional online, but really they didn't take it seriously. And so as an agent, you want to look at your own traffic to your website and make sure that you're prominently placed if you can get that far. Some of you have very, not very unique names, and so that's difficult to do. But there was no other Rochelle Wilhites in Washington, and so I should dominate the first page of Bing and Google. That was my goal when I set out with creating my online image and to build my image up. But you can do that very simply by creating a few pages. Number one, because of getting Google juice and how Google works and how Bing works, you're going to want to have a website that we create for you, which we can do very easily. That will help your online image that has your name in the domain name. And the other places that you should have online images created or profiles created would be on Zillow and on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you can do those three, as well as have your own branded web page or your website that people can go to, you should land very, very high when people Google your name. And then there's all kinds of information that you can share with potential clients that are just searching for a real estate agent or want to verify that you are who you say you are or you are still in the business. So many times you think, well, I don't get leads from that. No, you do not. You could potentially, but most of the leads I get are coming from referrals. But they all say when I meet with them, oh, I Googled your name or I checked you out and it looks like you still are taking on clients or you still know my area really well. You want to appear that way to the consumer. You want to make sure that you have that visibility online. There are some places on Zillow where you can ask for consumers to rate or review you. I like the way Zillow does it. There are some things I like about what Zillow does and things I do not like from an agent perspective. Number one, I like the way it looks, and I like the way the consumer can easily review you, meaning write a little paragraph about what you did and rate you on a star rating system, 5-star being the best, 4-star being okay, and 3-star, 2-star, 1-star not being as good. But even if you've got a 3-star or a 4-star, the way Zillow works, the more ratings and reviews that you have, the better you appear to the consumer, even if you don't have 5 stars all down the line. So keep that in mind. Most of the time, in fact, when I've gone to Zillow high, top producing agent panels and I've observed that company working in action, what I've observed is that if you're planning on paying for advertising on Zillow or participate in their agent lead program, don't do it. And I repeat, don't do it unless you have at least 5 to 10 agent ratings and reviews on your profile. Don't do it. In fact, if you're going to participate in a certain zip code or a certain area of our marketplace, you may want to see what your competition has in terms of ratings and reviews before you start paying the company for leads. It will affect your lead count. And they don't tell you that. They want your money. But after you get set up with them and you start paying and you wonder why you're not getting leads, it's because the consumers that are on Zillow are reading those reviews. They are reading those, looking at those ratings, reading the reviews, and selecting an agent based on that. At least that's a portion of how they select an agent when they're on Zillow's website. So if you have small amounts of Zillow reviews or ratings, get some more. If you're like me and you're thinking, well, I want to really build my reputation off of Zillow, the thing I don't like about Zillow is that you have to be signed in. You have to be logged in with a username and password in order to leave a review for the agent. So that restricts a lot of clients that I work with that are like, Rochelle, I don't want to go on Zillow's website and create a login and password. I'm happy to write you a review or to rate you on a different website or to just send you over a testimonial. I'm happy to do that. If you can get that done in a different way, then they do not have to log in and create a password. They can participate with us sending them a personal survey that can go on your website. We can easily do that for you, creating something where you don't have to create a login and password. They can just answer some questions that come from the company and provide you with the review that you can then place on your website, or just simply have them write a little blurb about the services or how you worked well with them, and we can place it on your website for you. So that's the downside with using Zillow's rating and review system. There's a reason on why to do it. Well, Yelp and Angie's List back in the day were two of the places that really pushed, having ratings and reviews. In fact, those were early leaders of ratings and reviews, rating the restaurant you have dinner at, or the roofer that you had come out to your house. Those two companies really led the way in providing the consumers with options, being able to rate and review their consumer or their contractor, which we get looped into that type of arena. Then we started having Amazon that started to rate and review and propose solutions to the consumer on what kind of other books or goods or services that they could provide to give the consumer more information. So the reason of why to do it, well, all the big companies online are doing it. And so if you don't have a very good review or you are needing a few more online, to build your online credibility, you may want to look at just setting a goal for yourself. Maybe you get one a month or two a month. Or maybe your goal is to have one review every week. Whatever that may be, you need to set a goal for yourself, because what will happen is a year will go by, and if you didn't set a goal for yourself, you'll never achieve it. And then all of a sudden, the other agents that are working in the business will obtain 20, 30, 40, 60 reviews. In some areas, that's what they have. And so if you don't have that, then the consumers think that you're not very active or very busy in the industry, when in fact you are. You just haven't done a good job of promoting yourself in an online way. When to do it? Well, ratings and reviews was always kind of difficult for me. It shouldn't have been. In fact, it should have been the best part or the part that I enjoyed of the business the most. But I was always too concerned about what people thought, you know, when I should ask for the review. Really, the time when you should ask for the review is right away, right when you start working with the client. Most review companies allow you to review the agent at any point during the transaction. Even Zillow allows you to do that. So at any point in the transaction would be the answer to the question, when should you ask the client to review you? It can be during the transaction when you write a contract. You could send them over an email just asking to review you or provide a testimonial of your services up until this point. It could be when you meet the client to give the keys. However, as you know, there's a lot going on. They have to transfer their utilities. They have to do all these things. They've got moving boxes. Sometimes their internet's not set up for a few days. There's a lot of reasons on why they do not provide a review or rate you for your services after the close of escrow. So you may want to think about moving that practice or that business idea up into the beginning or the middle of the transaction rather than waiting until the end in order to get reviews and ratings. The other thing to consider is how to do it. Many of our agents send an email after their first appointment with the client, or when they place an offer, and they're placing an offer, you know, they have specific instructions on, I will be sending you or attaching some disclosures for your review. If you would take 2 minutes and please rate and review me on this link below, I would greatly return the favor or assist, you know, continue to help you and give you the best service possible, or could give your friends and family the same type of service that I've given to you. Some sort of statement in an email works really well with the link in the body of the email, with the attachments, maybe of the disclosures early on in the transaction. It has been the best way I've seen it working for clients, for agents to get reviews. If you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm a new agent, you know, I haven't done a lot of transactions, or I'm just getting my feet wet, well, then the time to do the ratings and reviews is actually right now. In fact, you might want to go in and ask some of the people you've interacted with. You know, you may want to do some comparative market analysis or practice doing some CMAs, or go meet with these potential clients and talk with them or see their property or see their house. Those type of appointments or visits or communications, that's when you're doing your business. And even if you're a new agent, you should be asking those friends and family members to write reviews for you just about your character, about your honesty, about your diligence, about your patience, about how well you communicated. Those types of character traits would be very helpful in building your online profile and giving you some more credibility out there in the marketplace amongst other agents who have been doing it a lot longer than you have. So you may consider, you know, if you're a new agent, make it a goal by the end of the month of April to get 5 reviews from people that you know. It doesn't have to be people that you have transacted with. It can be just people that know your character and that can share what they know about you. Okay? Where to do it? There are, obviously I told you about Zillow. Zillow and Trulia now are partnered together, so your profile connects. When you have a profile on Zillow or you have a profile on Trulia, those websites, Zillow acquired Trulia, and so that they actually translate over to each other. There's a company that's called Reach 150, R-E-A-C-H 150. For $19 a month, you can have your own profile that you manage, you control, you link. You can brand it with Reach 150. It's a third-party website that provides ratings, reviews, and testimonials for you. I think the first 3 are free, but then beyond that, you'd have to pay the $19 a month for the service. But that might be a way, instead of using Zillow, that you use Reach 150 to manage that part of your business and to provide the online reviews. Also, LinkedIn is a free way to do it. There's a way to ask people to review we view you. And same thing with Facebook. If you have a Facebook business page, there's a way for people to rate you or rate your business and also provide you with star ratings. So those are two free options, LinkedIn, Facebook, and our SurveyMonkey we have created. We have a way that we could send out to any email address for you on your behalf, a way to get them, your consumer, to fill out a review. Or we can give you the link and ask you, and then you can embed that link or that code into an email, and you could ask your client to review you. And then once we receive the response, we would forward that to you so you could post it on your website or your other sites that you manage, or we can post it for you on the site that, you know, that we manage for you. So depending on how you have it set up, we can help you with that. Why to get referrals? Well, let's jump into that right now since we're about halfway through the call, is referrals. You know, why you want referrals? Well, 90% of the business that Best Choice Realty conducts in our marketplace is because of the referrals, because somebody says, hey, I've used Best Choice Realty, or I've used, you know, Debbie, she's fantastic. You may want to give her a call. Oh, I worked with Rochelle. She listed my daughter's property several years ago. Give her a call and think she's got some openings that she could help you with. Anytime you have referrals, that's a way for you to build your business, and it's a way to approach your business in a more strategic way rather than just paying for leads or obtaining, you know, I've paid for leads before. I mean, leads are expensive. In fact, they've gotten more expensive every year that we buy them. Leads on average, if you're buying from Zillow, could be anywhere from $70 to $100 per lead. And if you only get 5 leads a month, that could be about $500 a month just for leads, just for 5 leads, 5 opportunities. So look at your referrals as opportunities that could cost potentially or that thousands of dollars if you were to buy them from a company like Zillow or work with people that you don't know. Referrals are much better because they actually know your business relationship, or they've worked with you in the past, or there's some sort of connection that connects you on a personal level. It's a good way to get the best return on your investment. Think of it as a concierge service, or that you're a consultant for life. Those are kind of words that connote the type of referral business that you want to run. You want to be proactive and strategic with obtaining referrals. Always ask for referrals on your business cards, when you're talking with people, when you're working with the clients. If you're buying leads, you should be asking those people for referrals. You want to be very, these are two words that I love, proactive, meaning ask for it, don't wait for the business to come to you, and strategic. There are ways to do this and build a plan, and we're going to talk about that just here in a minute. You want to think about the groups. I like to target groups and then focus on the relationship. How can you work on the relationship within those target groups? Groups or buckets, I venture down those different types of conglomerates, depending on the conference call I'm doing, but I refer to these people as groups or buckets and focus on the relationship. How can you build a relationship when you have, say, for example, a quilting club, or if you have a, you know, a church group that you belong to, or if you have a neighborhood situation where it's a very, very tight-knit neighborhood. Those types of groups or buckets would be things that you could focus on, and then focus on how you can better build those relationships. It's all about the relationship when it comes to referrals. So then you want to come up with a plan, and we'll talk about that, and then hold yourself accountable to some sort of checks and balances. Before I go into the actual plan, which you can write down tonight to create a simple marketing plan to attract more referrals, there are some buckets or target groups that you should think about tonight before you start building your plan. Some of you have only thought about your friends or your family, and then some of you thought, gosh, I don't know if I want to work with my family and my friends. Maybe I want to open myself up to some other options. The first thing to do would be to think about, if you have kids or grandkids, to think about who they interact with. I started keeping track of all these birthdays. Lately, I've been dropping my kids off at all these birthdays on the weekends. And I'm thinking, why am I not writing down all of these addresses and having more conversations and building more of a relationship with my friends' parents, and establishing a, you know, they know that I'm in real estate, but that they know how, you know, how well I work and how I communicate and things of those that nature. That would take more relationship building. Just to know that you're in real estate is not enough sometimes to get referrals or to obtain their trust and build that trust with them to feel comfortable knowing that they could refer you. So that's an opportunity to expand your family and friend network. Think about your family's connections and your friends' connections and even your children's connections or grandchildren's connections. Those can all be part of your sphere of influence. And then you need to come up with their name, their phone number, and a way to contact them, either email address or address or both. And the other thing to think about with your sphere of influence is your past clients. Don't forget about your past clients. I read something in an article several months ago that was like 60 to 70% of agents that close on a transaction do not send another mailing piece or another piece of email communication to their past clients after they close escrow. And that's really unfortunate because a lot of those people would do business with you if they were asked or if they were consistently marketed to over the period of 1 to 5 years. So think about your past clients, and if you stop doing something with your past clients, maybe it's time to revisit that and actually to put them on some sort of email newsletter system every month. You think that's too much. It's not. I thought that at one time in my career, and it's not. And it's also not too much to send them something in the mail at least 4 times a year. I do it every other month with my past clients, and they love it. I have magazines that I send them, design magazines they love, and I've done different things based on holidays before in the past, and those past clients love to get that type of thing for you. The other thing that's coming out that I always do is those football schedules that are, we're working on combining the football and the soccer schedules onto one. House of Magnets does those things for us very well, and that might be an opportunity to send them something of value to get to their mailbox and actually let them know that you're in the business. And my clients did love that when I sent that to them. The other thing to think about is your alliance partners. These are your lender, title, insurance. Those are people that have similar, when you're doing a real estate transaction, that you have to involve lenders, title, home insurance, those types of people. And you think, well, I can't, you know, market to the title companies. They don't have people that they, you know, they can't give me business because they are, you know, regulated by the insurance commissioner. Shoot, they can't even give me a pen, you know, every single month because of how much they're regulated. Or they can't take me out to lunch like they used to back in the day. No, actually, if you have relationships go far and, you know, wide. A title company or a title rep or a closer or somebody that you know at the title company or insurance company or even your lenders, they refer people to real estate agents all the time because they know people in the business. But again, you have to really nurture those relationships and get to know them on a personal level in order for them to feel comfortable referring business to you. The other people to think about when you're building your buckets or your network, creating a strategy before you, think about your community. Are there some people in your community that you can continue to connect with? Your hairstylist, your people that you went to school with, your alumni, even social media. There are groups that are formed on social media that are very active. There was an agent in the office just a few days ago, and she said that she's connected with more people than she's got just on her social media in a very personal way. She's, in essence, not paying for Facebook ads or trying to be something that she's not. She's genuine to herself, and she's sending personal messages to her clients on Facebook, and they're responding very well. In fact, she's been able to obtain 2 or 3 listing appointments just in the past 2 weeks by using her Facebook as a CRM, as a client relationship manager, and just following up with the people on her social media or her Facebook account. So that does work. And then also think about people that you interact with and you meet in your groups. And that could be as simple as, you know, I go out on my motorcycle group, you know, a couple times a month, or I belong to a church group, and what are the people that are in my church group? What are their names, phone numbers, email addresses, or addresses, and what am I sending to them? Those are some people to think about. And there's a list I could send you that you may not have thought of that Mike Ferry put together, which is like 100 people that you should consider. Quite simply, you should sit down with your phone one of these days and enter in into your database people that you know in your phone or that you work with, or when you go sit down to pay your bills at the end of the month or beginning of the month, like I do, to look at who I'm paying money to. And those people should be on your on some of your connections or the relationships that you follow up with on a regular basis. So once you've established your bucket or your strategy, you've got to list out a simple marketing plan, and I am going to give you a simple marketing plan that you can fill out to attract more referrals. So on your paper tonight, go ahead and write down 6 numbers, and I'll go ahead and tell you how to build this really simple plan. And I've done this many times in many different aspects of my business, whether it been from, you know, being by myself, doing the business with my husband, with Eric, working on a team of with people, or simply just, you know, helping to grow a business or an area of my business that maybe wasn't touched very much. It's a way to keep you more accountable as well. So write this down, because this will also be something you're going to refer to track, is to make sure that you're following the plan. So number one, you need to find out, we can write this on your piece of paper, what's the plan? So perhaps, what are you trying to do? It's your goal. It's like, if I want to attract more referrals, what is my goal? Well, let's just talk today, and I want to get more leads from my postcard, from postcard marketing. I need about 5 to 10 leads a month. So I'm really kind of trying in my mind, I'm trying to come up with, what's my plan? Even tonight, I'm just kind of thinking through what I would write down for this. But number one is really important. You need to identify in writing, what's the plan? What are you trying to accomplish? And for you, it might be something different. Tonight, I'm going to write down on my piece of paper, I want to obtain 5 to 10 leads a month, 5 to 10 leads a month from my postcard campaign. Okay? Who am I going to target? Well, my number one was very broad, right? It was very broad. It was like, I want to obtain 5 to 10 leads out of my postcard campaign. Well, who am I going to target? Number two, that's the next thing you want to think about with your marketing plan. Who will I be targeting? My target can be very, very different depending on what I'm trying to accomplish with postcards. I've sent postcards out to a big group of people and got no results. I've sent postcards out to my neighborhood with limited success. So I need to be very specific on who am I going to target. I'm going to target, and when I write on my paper tonight for my plan, who am I targeting? I'm going to target 100 homes around my listings. So 100 homes around my listings. And then number three, what is your objective? Write that on your paper. What is your objective? Okay, take a moment and write that down. Number one, if you're following along tonight, what's the plan? Number two, who are you targeting? Number three, what is your objective? What are you trying to accomplish? Okay, so my plan was to get, you know, approximately 5 to 10 leads a month. Who am I going to target? 100 homes around my listings. What is my objective? To get several leads of my listings to follow up. And again, your objective needs to be very clear. I'm trying to think, if I sent out 100 postcards and I took 4 listings a month, so a listing a week, which is very obtainable if that's my goal, and I want to pull 5 to 10 leads a month from my listings, I'm going to need to speak with people, and I'm going to need to have a lot of people return my phone call. And so my objective is to get those leads to actually do something. So my objective is to get the leads to communicate with me, to obtain 5 to 10 leads, I'm going to need them to respond in some sort of fashion. So my objective is to get the leads to respond to my postcard campaign. That would be my objective. Number 4, how will you do it? Take a moment and write something down. How will you do it? Okay, as I'm thinking about my simple marketing plan for my postcards, how will I do it? Well, I've got to have listings. So if I don't have a listing, I'm going to have to call some of my colleagues that are with Best Choice Realty and ask if I can use their listing and send out some postcards on their behalf. I can send a postcard out every single week if I chose to, and I had the money to do it. How will I do it? Well, I'm going to have a listing every single week. I'm going to contact the title company that I'm using to open up title, and I'm going to pull 100 lists. Then I'm going to go ahead and purchase a dialer so that I can actually make some phone calls to actually connect with those people that I'm sending postcards to, because a friend of mine said that he's able to connect with a lot more people in his postcard farm by making those phone calls. Not all of the people will respond in that fashion, but he says he gets a much better response rate on making those phone calls the day or two after the postcards drop. And the only way to do that is with a Mojo dialer. So I've researched Mojo dialer, and for $100 and $150 a month, I'm able to have a dialer that can dial the postcards. And then I can actually connect with people when I send those postcards out on a weekly basis. So I'm going to also use a company called CoreFact. CoreFact is an online, they have an online presence so that on their postcards, there's a way for the clients, if they don't have a phone number, that they can stay engaged and actually do something with that postcard if they want to get a home value on their property. There's a key code that they can do, and they can find out what their home is valued at by going into an online website and doing that from the postcard. So it's a much better way than just sending out some branded postcards saying that I just listed a property. It's a way for me to help that client that's receiving the postcard to understand if they're going to get, you know, if they can get some help or they have questions about their personal property. So I'm going to use a couple companies, CoreFact, title company. I mean, there's all these people I have to involve to accomplish this objective and to meet my target and to accomplish my plan. But you've got to be very specific and maybe come up with 5 or 6 different to-do items under how will you do it in the number 4 section of your plan. Your expected return on investment. So in number 4, where you've wrote out, you know, what companies you're working for, I know it's going to cost me roughly my time to call the title company. The list they provide can be anywhere from $1 to $15 per list. So there's a small investment there for obtaining those. But when I add up my costs and the cost of the postcards, roughly it'd be $1 a postcard, not shipped. So if I figure it's going to cost me $400 a month for postcards, fully shipped, doesn't cost me for a CoreFax online system. So I got $400 for the postcards. I've got about $150 for the cost of the dialer system for the so I can look up phone numbers. My time, that's not bad if I'm able to pull 5 to 10 leads from it. You know, that's taking the cost per lead, 500, let's just round for, you know, for time's sake tonight, just say it's $500 for 5 leads. That's why it would be important for me to have 10 leads. If I can pull 10 leads from that, that would be $50 a lead. And if I'm able to pull one sale from that, wow, then I'm in really good shape because I have consistent business every single month. And it's just a numbers game at that point once I create the system to actually follow up. So my expected return on investment, on number 5, you need to write down your expected return on investment. So write down some of the costs like I was doing in my head. Actually write those down on what it's going to cost to do whatever program you're talking about doing. And then what your expected return will be. If I'm able to do, you know, a listing a week and able to do that many postcards and have a conversion rate of, say, 1% or 5% or 10%, that's my return on investment to understand how many, if I put in this much money, how much of that will I get back? How many leads will I get? And then how many leads will that turn into actual sales? That's the expected return on your investment. Then number six, last step in the marketing plan, is to write down on your paper what kind of tracking system will you use to evaluate the success of your plan. So you need to think about that, and I'll give you a moment to do that. What kind of tracking system will you use to evaluate the success of your plan? So if my plan was to say, I want to get more leads, 5 to 10 more leads on my own from a postcard system, how will I know that I'm successful? What kind of system will track that? Or what kind of things, at what point should I track that to be able to know whether I'm successful or to make modifications to the plan? So in essence, you're creating a circle from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 where you revisit your plan, and when do you do that and how do you do that? So take a moment and think about your plan. Okay, and the success of my plan based on the postcards is going to be I'm going to try this for the spring and the summer. After the summer, I will determine whether my plan was successful, because by then I will have taken, let's just say April, May, June, July, and August, I will have taken 25 listings and sent out enough postcards where I'll be able to know whether my plan is working. I may want to go ahead and check it, check my return on investment, go back to number five and look at that. But I mean, my investment, if my time and money, I know that my plan will work. And so after 3 months, I might revisit my plan and tweak it slightly. But after 6 months, I should know whether my plan is being successful or not. If my plan is not successful in 6 months, I'm either A, missing a step in 1, 2, 3, or 4, or number five, my return on investment is not as good as I had anticipated. So at any point in time, you can go in and you can tweak your plan if you're not seeing results. But you want to keep it going for at least a few months to check your results. And like I said, at 6 months, if it's not working, chances are you're not doing something right, or you need to advise, get a consultant or a coach to help you in executing on your plan. And that's kind of the essence of the call tonight, is once you have a plan and you have a system in place, then you can find success, and you'll be able to get a lot of recommendations, referrals, leads, recommendations from people. In essence, you'll become very successful in coming up with a strategic and proactive approach to handling your business. So with that, I'll let you go. Have a great week, you guys. Enjoy the sunshine. I think it's going to be sunny tomorrow, at least for the morning and afternoon. And we'll talk to you soon. It's definitely our busy season. So good luck out there. And as always, make it a great week and call me if you have questions.